Bless you guys. So we are starting a new series. This is the first time I've actually started off speaking on a new series. And we're going to be talking about healthy heart habits, habits of a healthy heart. And I think this is really good for even from the beginning of the year as we've been moving along and we've been really talking and discussing about heart, things about our heart and the things of our relationship with God. And we're going to move this along. We want to talk about these things in our heart. We don't want to be, we're friends in here. We want to talk to each other. We want to discuss these things. And church is a great place to socialize and a great place to meet people and have fun and talk about. But really, why are we here? We're here to gather together in one accord, to praise God, to be together as believers in Christ. And we need to start encouraging each other and lifting each other up. Now, we got five. This is going to take us right to the end of June. So we have five topics in this Habits of a Healthy Heart. And the first one here that we're going to be doing today, I'm going to be talking about the habit of self-examination. The second one is going to be the habit of simplicity, being more like less is more rather than more is more or more is good. And the society that we have is the more that we have, the better we are. In this case, in the biblical perspective, less is more. The next one after that is going to be the habit of solitude, alone time with God, and seeking Him and really making a habit of seeking the Lord. And then the habit of sorrow, which is developing a healthy sorrow, bringing us into repentance. And repentance is a good thing. Repentance is not a bad word. It's relational with Him. And then we have the last of the series is going to be the habit of slowing down to honor God. In a society, in a culture, especially in the Western culture, we're busy, 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 and things are pushing us along to be even busier. We're going to talk about slowing down and have our hearts to be able to slow down and honor God. So I'm just going to open up here in prayer, and then we'll move forward into this message today. So Jesus, I just thank you for today. I thank you for this message. Let me just step aside and let you have what you want to say today. And Lord, I just pray for each heart today, each ear today, that they have a listening heart for what you have to say. And Lord, I just thank you and bless each person as we move along in this series and in today's sermon. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so how many people have lied? Nobody's, you guys are all liars. Nobody put up their hand. We've all lied. Everybody's lied at some point in their life. And we know and most of the time our lies really are excuses of why we don't want to do something. Hey, I'm moving next week and I'd love you to help me out. Oh, gee, I think I have something I'm doing. I think it's my hair or something. You know, we have these excuses. And, you know, in today's culture, a lie or a little white lie is, you know, people don't think about it too much. They kind of expect it. You know, they kind of are expecting people to make excuses, and a little lie doesn't really matter too much. I mean, we lie to our bosses, our friends, our family, and all those things, and they're little lies that most people, if we get caught on, it's like, oh, I'm sorry, it was really just an excuse. But the real sad thing is the person that we lie to the most is ourselves. We lie to ourselves so often in so many different areas of our life. It's amazing. We lie to ourselves about when we, as soon as we wake up in the morning to as soon as we go down to sleep. We talk ourselves out of things. We talk ourselves into things. And then we talk ourselves into things thinking that it's a good idea. And then we have these regrets afterwards. Jeremiah, let's go to the first verse here. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things, and it is extremely sick, wicked even. Who can understand it fully and know its secret motives? Now, Claudia has talked about this a few times, and we have talked about this in the series a few times. We're going to look into it even a little bit more as we move along here. So one of the biggest problems that we face is we're trying to fix external problems when there's an internal issue. We look at all these internal problems that people have or even that we have, and we try to fix the problem when it's actually an internal issue. And as believers, we are working out our salvation in this with the Holy Spirit. We are working these things out with God. And things come up in our life, and we're like, Lord, I don't like that about me. And we work this thing out with Him. And these are external symptoms that happen from an internal issue. You know, we see this all the time, even in public. We have, you know, that guy or that lady driving down the road, and they get really angry at the person that just cut them off, or they know that they're. I see this all the time when I know there's a merge lane coming up, and I'm just watching the traffic, and I just watch other people not wanting to let the other person in, and they know that they're coming in. There's the road ends; they've got to let them in, and they're. You know, bumper to bumper with the other car, and they're signaling and they're moving over, and then the guy finally gets in, and then the guy's really angry about the fact that he cut him off. I'm like, you're doing 10 kilometers an hour. The guy didn't really cut you off. You didn't even want to let him in. And really, that's the whole thing of it. It's just like, don't get into my space. And so we see this, and sometimes it's the person who can't have or can't stop having that extra piece of pie or that extra drink. Sometimes it's the person who might be watching something on their screen at night when nobody else is looking. Maybe that's something that's going on. But you know what? A lot of the times we try to fix these things by maybe, oh, I will read the Bible more, or I'll pray more, or I'll be around other people more, and that will fix the problem. That will fix this distraction of this thing that's happening inside of me. And no, that it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's because these heart issues, they're behavioral issues, but they're birthed in the heart somewhere, or they've somehow come alive in the heart. Behavioral issues are born in the heart, and they're birthed out of the heart. And this slide here says, if you want to change your life, you change your habits, but if you want to change your habits, let God change your heart. James 1, 14 and 14, 15 says, but each one is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, or passion. When the illicit desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. That's an ugly truth verse. That is an ugly truth verse. If you allow yourself to continue going down a road that you know is not good, then this is going to end up leading to death. It's going to lead to the thing that you do not want to have at the end of your life. There is certain things in the Bible that it warns us against to not get into, because it will lead to death. And this is the ugly truth. You see, the devil will come along and see a weakness in somebody's heart and then exploit it. The devil will destroy a life whose weakness hasn't been surrendered to God. You know, that can be anger, unforgiveness, lust, depression, fear. Even our own feelings can be a weakness to the devil. I heard this guy say one time, man, I miss the good old days. Now, everybody misses the good old days. Everybody misses the good old days. The 80s were the best. I tell you, the 80s were the best. And for some people, the 50s were the best. And for some people, the 70s were the best. But you know what? The good old days, we look back, and because we have these amazing experiences in our life at some point. But here's what happens. The devil will see that you want to be in this time frame, in this area of your life, and the devil will capitalize on that and make you get stuck in a time and not be able to move forward. And this is what the devil wants. This is what the enemy wants. He wants you to be stuck in a spot, whether it's a cycle in a habit and an addiction, or it's a problem with your thinking and your feelings and stuck in the past where you cannot move forward. So unchecked heart issues can destroy our purpose and our relationships. So how do we stop this from happening? So again, the title of the message is The Habit of Self-Examination. We ask God to reveal in us the things that need to change on a regular basis. And Psalms 139, this one is great. I love this psalm. I love this psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Now, who is the author of this psalm? David. So David, as we know, and I talked about David a few weeks ago, last month, we're going to dive into David's story a little bit here too. But David was known as a man after God's own heart. But David wasn't perfect. David's heart actually misled him on one specific occasion that gets talked about many times. And that problem with his heart led him to do something that was not good. And it led him to adultery with Bathsheba. And David didn't even realize his sin until it was pointed out to him. We'll talk about that in a second. But let's take a look to see what ended up happening. Why did this happen? So in 2 Samuel 11:1, it says, "In the spring of the year, when kings normally go out to war, David sent Joab and the Israel army to fight the Ammonites. They destroyed the Ammonite army and laid siege to the city of Rabbah." I don't even know how to say that. Rabbah. However, David stayed behind in Jerusalem. Now, this is really strange because as per custom, it was that kings were supposed to lead the battle. And it's very well known in the scriptures that this was something that David did all the time. Even before he was king, we knew that he led the armies. He led Israelites to fight for King Saul. And his battles and victories were won. They sang songs about David and Saul. And in the fact where David was even killing more people than him. And Saul got jealous because of this. So we know that this was something that David would do on a regular basis. Leading into fight, leading the battle and winning. But for some reason, he stayed behind this time. For some reason, he decided not to go and fight. Now, the Bible doesn't say why, but we can kind of speculate. And so my thoughts in this is maybe he was bored. Maybe he was getting bored of fighting. Maybe he was tired of fighting. Maybe he was getting a little too comfortable in his kingship. And maybe he was just thinking, you know what, I'm king. I really don't have to go and fight anymore. And that could have been something that he was thinking about or pondering about. But this led into this deception of his heart and into this adultery with Bathsheba. See, maybe King David was having, you know, you get those moments where it's just like, I'm done. I'm tired. I just want to sit on the couch and do nothing. I'm emotionally drained. I am physically drained. I want a time to do absolutely nothing. And Jordan's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Because Jordan is like, when I have those days, I'm going out and I'm fixing my car. Or I'm going out and I got a project to do. You know, but for the regular people, you know, this is a time frame when we kind of sit back and just go, okay, I'm done with people. I want just to cuddle with my dog, maybe just sit down, maybe watch Netflix. I don't know. David was in this mindset for some reason, wandering out in the balcony, sees Bathsheba, and then that leads him to the ultimate heart deception. See, we are the masters of our own deception. We lie to ourselves without even a thought, without even recognizing that we're even lying to ourselves. Let's look at the next slide here. This information I didn't have to find. This was found out for me, so I just put this in here. But this is psychologists have put in 5 categories of external issues that people have when there's something inside of them, but it comes out externally. And so they look at these things and they have labeled them in this categories of what do you want to call 5 manifestations if you want to, but we look at it as external heart issues, okay? And so the first one is addiction and addiction to distraction. Now, these aren't addictions in some way that we have a look at, think about as addictions to drugs and things like that, but these are addictions to a distraction of some sort. And that could be porn, that could be news, that could be work, that could be alcohol, that could be video games, that could be social media. I might be borderline addicted to social media. If I look at myself and examine myself, I'm on my phone a lot more than I should be. right? And I'm looking at that stuff. So these are things that we need to start examining in our lives. Manic cheeriness. This is somebody that says life is great all the time. No problems. There are photos or pictures. Everything is awesome. And there's nothing wrong. I'm all good. And they spend time with people all the time to distract themselves from what's really underlying in their life. And then they get home and they could be extremely depressed and even to the point of even suicidal thoughts because they're so depressed. Yet on the outside, everything is happy and good. Then we run down to people who are very judgmental. Judgmental is the word. They judge others. They look or point at others, people's issues, instead of dealing with what they have. Now, my contribution to this list is what is called the mirror effect. Now, I learned this a long time ago. And what the mirror effect is that you don't like something in somebody because it's actually an issue that you have. And so what it's doing, it's reflecting that you're seeing it in somebody, but it's actually an issue in yours. Jesus actually talked about that when you want to help somebody with the speck in their eye and you have a log in yours. And it's a very good example of what that is. So the next one we have is defensiveness. And that says a lot of people that get defensive about certain things in their life are offended very easily. It's not my fault. It's everybody else's fault. I don't have an issue. It's their issue, and they're the ones. And we see this quite a bit in some people's lives where everything, they have a chip on their shoulder about everything. And the last one, of course, is cynicism. Well, this is the worst one that you could possibly be in because now everything is wrong. Everything about everybody else has a problem. I don't have an issue. It's everybody else. And what happens is that they seclude themselves and then they end up not being able to develop relationships or be able to have normal lives because they are so closed off to everything. These types of heart issues or deceptions can keep us from facing the truth about ourselves. David deceived himself because he had underlying heart issues. And the prophet Nathan came to David to point out his sin and what he actually did. Nathan points out the story. And if you don't know what the story is, I'll quickly just reiterate it for you. Nathan comes up to David and tells him this story about this rich man who has all these cattle, all these sheep, has many things. And then there's this poor man who has this little sheep. And the sheep, if you read about it, this little sheep is almost like a family member, right? Because they bring him up and it eats from their hand and it's just they just adore this sheep, right? It's part of their family. So there's this traveler that comes into town and the rich man is going to host, but decides he doesn't want to kill any of his animals to make a meal. He steals the poor man's sheep and kills it to make this meal for this traveler. David hears this message and gets really angry about it and says, even to the fact where this man should die. Like, who is this? This is wrong. And Nathan points out and says, David, you are that man. And David didn't even realize it until that was pointed out. His heart was so deceived that he had somebody else have to tell him and point it out to him. And this is what ends up happening with us sometimes. We don't have an idea that we're actually deceiving our heart in those areas. So the habit of self-examination is asking God what he sees in us that needs to change. It's not that prayer saying, search me, O God, and know my heart. It's the fact that he knows and he's asking us to let him change it and let him say that, hey, you know, the first sign of that you know you've got a problem is admitting that you have a problem and let God help you change that. So these are three warning signs that you may have unresolved heart issues. Now, these aren't the three signs, but there's a good amount of root that we can take from this. Watch for what others have tried to tell you. If there's two more people that have said the same thing that you might have, you know, and this is kind of biased too because these people might not like you in the first place, but you know, but if you have friends who are telling you a couple of things that you might have that you might be seeing a pattern of and people are telling you, pay attention to that because it could be something that you really do need to go to God about. Second one is to watch for what you rationalize. Oh, you know what? I can buy that. No problem. I can buy that, or I can spend my money on this. I'm okay. No problem. There's not a big deal. I can handle it. You know, these types of things. I'm not hurting anybody. Okay, these are types of things that we rationalize all the time. And especially if it's one specific thing that you rationalize on that somebody has told you about a few times. So be careful of what you're actually rationalizing. And then watch for where you're most defensive. Because if we're defending something quite often and we need to say, oh, no, that's just, you know, that's not a problem. That's not a big deal. You know, there could be something in that if we have to keep defending ourselves in that area. So then, yes, yeah, exactly. So the last part of that slide says, the more convinced you are that you don't have a problem, the more likely it is that you do have a problem. Now, I'm going to go completely, I'm going to take a left turn here in this sermon. And the next thing that I'm going to be talking about, you're going to go, this has nothing to do with this sermon at all. What does this have to do with healthy heart habits? What does this help to do? What does this have to do with examining our hearts? Okay, so I want you to turn, if you have a Bible app or your Bible, turn to John 11. And we're going to start in verse 21. All right, now I'll give you a quick backstory as you're looking it up. This is John 11, starting in verse 21. Jesus, a little while ago, it was like 4 or 5 days ago, people ran to him. It could have been a week, probably could have most likely a week, but people came up to Jesus saying that your friend Lazarus is very sick, and you need to come see him. And Jesus stopped, and he was about to go, but then he realized that it wasn't his time to go at that moment. And so here we have him finally, after he completed a few stops and missions with his disciples, we have him now coming to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and Lazarus has died. In fact, he's been dead for 4 days now. And this is where we are in this verse. So let's take a quick look. I'm going to read, I'm going to skip a couple of verses, but we're going to go from John 11, 21 to 27. And we'll get into this. Okay, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again. And in the resurrection, on the last day. But Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this, Martha? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. That is not what Jesus asked her. She deflected the question as soon as he asked her. Jump down to verse 39. Jesus says, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, and I don't know why John put that in there. Maybe there was more than one Martha's at the funeral. But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there's going to be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you, if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Jesus really actually didn't say that to her. But what he is saying is that if you believed, you know, understand that I am the resurrection and the life, the glory of God equals life. The glory of God is walking amongst you. See, look in verse 33. I don't have it up here, but look in verse 33. The end part of verse 33 says that Jesus was troubled in his spirit. Now, this is very interesting because in verse 35, we get Jesus wept, which is the shortest verse in the entire Bible. And Jesus wept, and the next part of that says that, it says that, oh, it must be because he loved, how much he loved Lazarus. But this is not the case because Jesus knew that he was coming to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that. He wasn't crying because Lazarus was dead. He was weeping, and this was an outward weep because the people saw him doing this. This was an outward weep because they didn't believe that life was walking amongst them, that the resurrection of the power, the resurrection power was walking amongst them. His love, the power, the God, the man who had going to take the sins of the world away. And even though he was there amongst them, they didn't believe him. He said it three times. He said to Martha, "Do you believe? If I told you that, if you would believe." And then in the last verse, last couple of verses in verse 40, I think it's 41 and 42, Jesus says, "Father, I'm praying out loud, not because I don't think you hear me, but so that they will believe that you sent me." So Jesus was vexed in his spirit because they didn't believe, even though he was right there among them. Now, I want to bring this back to where this is related to what I'm talking about. I truly believe that many believers with their heart issues stems from only a knowledge of God and not knowing him in our heart the way that he wants us to. There is an area of knowledge that we have reading on the scriptures and a piece of paper that we can say, "Yes, I believe Jesus. I know this is true." But we haven't established it in our hearts to know that he's real and he's true in this area of our life. I'm not just talking about fully, but I'm talking about in certain areas of our life that we haven't been able to establish that heart connection with him to know that he is going to fix that issue. Julie, can you come up here for a second? Because Julie has this shirt on, and I want to show you this right now. And some of us feel like we're the one that has lost. We feel like sometimes we are lost. That Julie's shirt says he left the 99 to go and find the one. Let me tell you something. If you feel like, if you feel like you're the one, the lost one, and these issues that you have, and you feel like you've left the 99 and you're that one, I tell you right now that Jesus is coming after you. He is coming after you right now, and he's excited to find you because he knows he's going to find you. He might be weeping at the time because you strayed off, but he is so excited because he knows he's going to find you. We lie to ourselves about what Jesus can do in our life. We lie to ourselves so many times that I am not worthy to be called anything. And you know what? You're not, but he loves you so much that he made you worthy. He has made you worthy even though you're not. He has made you righteous even though you're not. He loves you and he's coming after you. So final thoughts about this as we continue on here. The habit of self-examination develops a heart knowing for Jesus. Knowledge versus knowing him. Knowing versus knowledge. Self-examination will reveal the truth about who you are in Christ. And going back to that same statement, if you want to change your life, change your habits. But if you want to change your habits, let the Holy Spirit change your heart. David, a man after his own, after God's own heart, sinned. He wasn't perfect. Nobody is. Jesus will fix any heart issue or any issue that we come across in our life if we draw close to him. You cannot change what you do not confront. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to say, "Lord, I need to change this in my life."